Get Michael Buffer in there. Are you ready?
I have notes. I have notes on both. Let's go.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where Garrick Taylor, she, they, rewatch the Monday Night Wars and subject my various parasocial friends to it through a podcast, including this week, my guest, Blue.
Hi, that's me. I'm Blue. Say them. Hi.
Yeah, hi. And there's a cat. We have a special guest as well.
She's just going to be here.
She's just going to be here. This
is just going to happen.
That's all right.
She'll leave at some point, I'm sure.
Okay, but she's like the Pepe to your Mongo McMichael.
Yes. And
yeah, that's fine.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, we see you have her like in a with a saddle and shit. So
listen, I have questions.
Yeah. So you said you had notes. So do we want to start?
Nitro. Okay, we're gonna start with Nitro. Beautiful.
Okay. I love it. You seem to be like ready.
Is there always a dog? Does he always have a dog? Regardless of what it's wearing, does he always have a dog?
Oh, Pepe, the dog.
Is the dog always there?
The dog is a thing.
Really?
While Mongo is on commentary, which thankfully doesn't last terribly long. But yes, Pepe is like his dog. And he loves that dog, and it is a thing.
Oh my God.
Pepe is always there, and
that's so funny.
Usually in different outfits.
Okay, that's okay.
That makes a little more sense.
Yeah, but, no, for sure. I mean, the saddle, though, to just throw me in with a chihuahua on a saddle, and then for the other guy to call him a tarantula, let me chip. Good Lord, a 4-pound tarantula with a saddle. I'm like, sir, come on. That's at least, I mean, it might not be a dog, but it's at least a rat. Like,
he's gone with rat. Yeah, no, he's gone with rat. He's gone with tarantula.
Okay.
Tarantula. That's Bobby the Brain Heenan, who I love dearly. He's literally the greatest to ever do it.
I should preface right now. I don't watch wrestling. I did not watch wrestling.
I was going to say, this is something I wanted to bring up before we really got going.
I was at the date of air of the shows that we watched, September
25th.
Yeah, September 25th, 1995. 6 weeks from my third birthday. So that's...
You were a weeble.
I was small. I was small bean. I am small bean. I was even smaller bean.
Smallest of bean.
And I even
far from Final Four.
I don't think my mom wasn't watching wrestling until she was with my sister's dad. And that was when I was like 8 or 9. So that was like 2000, 2001. So this later.
So this it showed up eventually.
Before that, even. Yeah, eventually. It kept me up at night, honestly. I remember actually waking up and going out and being like, hey, can you turn this down? And they were like, no, go back to bed. I was like, okay, cool.
This is wrestling.
But literally, they were like, the TV's never bothered you before, and now it's bothering you. I'm like, yeah, because they're all fucking screaming.
Screaming. It's about screaming.
Everybody yells. That's a no. We'll get there. That's a no.
That's a no.
So I never watched wrestling. I've seen, now actually, it's funny. I still don't really watch wrestling. I still don't really know what's going on. I know some of the characters. I've actually been to a live show, which is the irony here. This is not like, I don't know, fuck yeah, wrestling, but like, it's entertaining as shit.
That's what it's there for.
It's entertaining as shit. And I can't deny that. And I'm not going to say no to fucking watching 2 episodes of old wrestling and being on a podcast. Are you kidding me? Why would I say no to that?
I'm hoping for that. You know, like originally I was going to call this podcast For the Marks, because there's so many podcasts where it's like, can we get wrestlers and like
death?
The weed cough is contagious. Not
bloopers
leaving
at the end.
No, Blue, I'm leaving all of that in.
As you should.
Indeed. Oh, that was just entertaining. And like that just kind of is. I have the mentality that like I feel like it's such a basic fun thing that like even in the inevitable like end of civilization, the various settlements are going to have like the biggest, most athletic dudes pretending to hate each other and fight for everyone's entertainment. You know, big meaty men are going to be slapping meat. And
I, like do, I do remember when I first figured out that like everything I know is like almost unspoken. Like you don't even talk about it, but like as soon as I found out that it was choreographed and everything and like everyone was a character and everyone had like a script and I was just like, so then what's so it's a soap opera?
Yeah, it's drama kids. It's so drama it's kids soap opera. It's literally theater on literal steroids, Blue. It's fantastic. And
on steroids.
Yeah, and that's why I love it. Well, now they have the wellness policy. Yeah, no, and that's how I explained it, ended up explaining it to my kiddo, because kiddo is like, so what exactly are you watching here? And I was just like, it's theater kids, they're pretending to fight, but it's like gymnasts. And mm-hmm. he's like, all right, and he got mm-hmm. super into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopes that the first thing I showed him was Undertaker entrance, which we'll get to. The one he saw was on a mm-hmm. much bigger scale. But yeah, so no, I'm excited because like, originally, I wanted to call this For the Marks because, like I said before, everyone has a podcast that's trying to get like people in the industry on to talk. And I'm like, I just okay. want to have a space for the fans to talk because, like, sure enough, this is a I've been doing a lot of recording this week and everybody has been saying the same thing, which is just like, I just am happy to gush about wrestling for an hour. And I was like, right, this is why I'm doing this. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And that's what I told my partner I was doing this. And he was like, why the wrestling? I was like, yeah. He was like, but why though? I was like, but why not?
Yeah, I was going to say, it gives you something to watch. And like a reoccurring theme here, I am not a professional. I am just neurodivergent and a sponge. And like,
see?
A friend of mine that I work with was around for one of our Patreon watch-alongs, and before we started recording, we were talking about modern pay-per-views because, like, modern AEW pay-per-views go 4.5, 5.5 hours. You know, like 4.5 hours just for the pay-per-view, but there's an hour of pre-show, there's an hour of dark matches that are usually really worth watching because it's the thing they put on YouTube free to get people to buy the pay-per-view in the last minute. So like that's an hour worth of really good shit. But then there's 4 hours of the show and then there's the media scrum afterwards, which is usually worth watching if you're a nerd. And I'm fucking old, for the my lore. Dude. Yeah, for the lore. Oh my God, there's good stuff. There's like side quests that you would miss. Some of my favorite things in wrestling happens in media scrums. But the problem is that happens at like 1 a.m. and I'm fucking old. Yeah.
Nobody's standing for that shit.
So, you know, you can catch it in the morning, but I blew his mind because he's like, so you're watching like all of this? I was like, what part of I have a wrestling problem did you not understand? Like, I really thought I was making this understood. Like you're like, are you really going to do like a podcast about wrestling? I was like, I could talk about it until you make me shut up. So yeah. Which, you know, all the more reason if you're like, I have so many questions. I'm like, I bet you any money I got answers. So on that note, Nitro, happy Rosh Hashanah from Eric Bischoff. You already mentioned Pepe.
Yep.
Pepe will be walking down to the ring with his daddy soon. Because Mongo becomes a wrestler, he doesn't get any better at that than he is at this.
Oh, that's funny.
So we got that to look forward to.
That's funny.
But I mean, I would ride Pepe into battle, you know?
I don't. Pepe might be able to carry me.
I say you're tiny. You're maybe.
Maybe.
You said yourself you a small bean. So
small bean. Speaking, I am.
Speaking of small beans, Das Wunderkind Alex Wright.
Oh my god. The
20-year-old German kid.
This man's hair. This man's hair. Oh my god.
Tell me how you really feel.
It was fine until we got the shot of the back. And then I was just like, oh, it's basically a bowl cut.
It's 1995 is what it is. I mean,
it's golden, though. Like, what the fuck? It's literally golden.
Well, he's a second-generation German wrestler, Katchen. Over there, they call it Katchen. And, right? So, like, he started working when he was, like, 18, and they, like, picked him up right away. Yeah, and he, like, stays with that company until the end. Like, Alex Wright is going to be with us in some iteration for until the end of this podcast adventure.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes through kind of different iterations. He's not dancing yet. You'll have to come back when he's like do it. He becomes like a Euro trash like club kid.
I can see it. No, I can see it. 100%. Oh, I'm ready for that.
I'll call you back in like 8 months.
Yeah. I love it. Let's do it.
So unfortunately, though, he's wrestling Disco Inferno, who will also ride this to the end.
I cannot with this man. Oh my god.
How do you feel? Someone who doesn't know wrestling and doesn't have the preconceived bias of knowing what he's like as a human being, how do you feel about Disco Inferno?
I don't understand why we were booing him. Other than maybe his awful dancing. Dear Lord. It just the wiggle and
Booty.
And then it's so funny to me. Like, first of all, as soon as we get in the ring, we're stripping shit off. Everybody. We're taking off a jacket. We're taking off everything. We're just taking shit off. And it's Disco Inferno didn't have to take everything off. But I understand wrestling, so it's fine.
He insisted.
But he insisted, yeah. The hair is very floofy.
And like the first thing he does after doing a move is check it to make sure it's still fine. Because that's wrestling. Yeah.
Oh my god. I feel like Alex Wright should have been checking his hair. If anyone was checking the hair, I feel like it should have been Alex.
But let it be known, Disco keeps this up for like 7 years.
Wow.
Something like that. Or like seven, four, five, six. Yeah, six to seven, six and a half. I don't know. It didn't go long. Nitro didn't last long, but that's what we're here to talk about.
Man.
And then he discovered social media and it all went down from there. So.
Oh.
Yeah. You can find him on Twitter having takes. And like, you know, you don't get to have takes when you're like basically the house jobber for the most, like your job is to go out there and lose to the guy that we like, you know.
Well, that was my last note on the match was that I said bullshit finish. So dumb.
Yeah.
That man did nothing. Like,
yeah.
He got his ass beat and then he's like, no, wait, hold on. Never mind. I was like,
that's fine. I had that thought. That's a repeated thought this week. Like, I had to think about my match of the week because I was like, you know what? They mostly sucked. But Bobby Heenan and Pepe cutting a rug. In Brooklyn, in a discotheque, that's a vignette I want to see. The only other notes I have for this one is Alex does this like spinning European uppercut, which a guy Claudio Castagnoli does now, and I was like, hell yeah, it's good to see that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was good, but I'm from that because you know I don't want to talk about Disco Inferno anymore. But then it cuts to Jimmy Hart and Hulk Hogan.
Oh God. Okay, listen, I'll sprinkle these in. Things I noticed. Everyone yells. obviously. I mentioned that earlier. Everyone else. The commentators remind me of Facebook sidebar ads. Because like every 3 minutes they're plugging like the next match or the next episode or the next like what the fuck ever. And no one shuts up about Hulk Hogan. Nope. Hulk Hogan doesn't even shut up about Hulk Hogan.
He would not. No.
Also monster trucks.
That is a that is a theme of the early episodes here because it's
monster trucks. Monster trucks. Like
monster trucks.
Monster trucks queen.
Monster trucks tonight.
Monster trucks tonight, queen. Like, what the fuck?
Man turns into machine. Machine turns into man, queen.
Machine versus machine, queen. Like, what the what?
Yes, exactly. Jimmy and Terry are like the worst Calvin and Hobbes of all time.
Oh my God.
Like, those two. And they are just, that's a thing that. That made money blue for decades. No, that was what made money.
Of course it would.
Which
is
wild.
That makes sense. It's 1995.
It wasn't making money in 95. This is what we're about to get into. It's a turning of the era. But this other thing, too, is they're talking about the giant. They're still trying to pretend that it's Andre the Giant's kid. It's very much not. Big, stinky, nasty giant.
Yeah, just the different adjectives that he, so many adjectives that he.
Because he's still trying to pretend like he's like a for the kids guy, you know? And it's like, I can't say swear words. I have to say big, stinky, giant. Yeah, awful. It seems a little awful. But awful, yes. But yeah, then that brings us to the next match. The biggest boy versus the total package. And they have their shout talk. Listen, you gonna make it?
I cannot take Randy Savage serious.
You shouldn't. Nobody should. Yeah, no. Randy Savages aren't for taking seriously.
I like it. No, sir.
Hey Gene, no. He likes it.
No. No.
And then it's like, really? You pinky swear, Lex? Really? And like Lex, he makes like bottom face.
Lex Luger looks like Lex Luger looks like John Bon Jovi if he were a wrestler.
Lex Luger is John Bon Jovi if he were a wrestler.
Why is his mouth is ginormous, his jaw, his entire face, like why is he's just what?
Everything is big.
Oh my God. Well, why?
Well, he broke in when they were trying to, Vince McMahon was still trying to do the Weightlifting Federation, Bodybuilding Federation.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
It was the WBF, World Bodybuilder Federation. Oh, that's what it was. Goodness. So Lex was supposed to be the guy who could do both. He was going to be the crossover between the bodybuilding show and the wrestling show, and that's why they called him the total package. He could do both.
He referred to himself as such. You're gonna slap the total package. I'm like, oh, come on. Okay.
You're gonna slap my package? Yes, exactly. Going to slap the total package. Because wrestling is straight. Great, and it is hetero and it is masculine. Why are you making that face?
You tell yourself that.
Yeah, exactly. They kept telling themselves that, and then, then they wonder how like you grow up and we're all gay now and we still like wrestling, and now there's a bunch of us and like gay people who are in wrestling, and wrestling is totally gay now. It's great.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it though?
Oh, how the turns have tabled.
Oh my God, he went through the turned table. but yeah, then Colonel Parker brings us the next talent from Japan, Kurosawa. And This man is my favorite. I wrote he's going to kick this guy's ass and then make a classic film about it.
This man is my favorite. And as soon as he walked out, I knew he was going to win. As soon as he walked out, I was like, nope, he's got it. Also, leather jackets. Everybody has a leather jacket.
It's the 90s. It's 1995.
Everybody has a leather jacket. Oh, everybody saw Grease and was like, I need one.
Buddy, it's going to get so much worse. Like the leather jackets like reproduce like tribbles. Oh, like they're just everywhere.
No, they are. I know. It's crazy.
It's going to go Oh, NWO. So yeah, we have Kurosawa and Pitbull Pittman is back, which god damn it.
It took me a minute to figure out who Pitbull was, because I didn't catch his name at first, that it was Pittman. So I didn't, I was like, who are we calling Pitbull? Is it this, like, which, what's happening? So that took a second. And then also, headbutting.
Okay. But though, all right, here's the thing though. I love that headbutt.
The headbutt, back to back headbutts.
Oh, he kept pulling it out too. And I was like, that's actually pretty cool. Cause the first time I saw something like that was actually last year, in the G1, or you don't know wrestling, the G1 is a tournament in Japan that they do every summer. And I watched it this year because Eddie Kingston, who's in AEW now, is a wrestler that I'm deeply, deeply in love with. Guy is so pretty. He's my good violence boy. But he was in it, so I made sure to watch, even though it airs at like 4 a.m. And he had a match against this dude who just pulled that out of nowhere, just ran up on him and just threw himself at him headfirst. And I was like, all right, that's the coolest shit I've ever seen. And then this guy does it like 3 times. And I was like, I don't even like Pittman. I hate this guy, but that was cool. Don't make me give credit to this motherfucker.
Right, right.
Fine. And plus, Kurosawa is awesome. He gets the concrete out like that.
That's what I would. I was like, is that legal? The concrete? Are you kidding? Holy shit. That's insane.
I feel like the way it ends up working out is like, I feel like it's the same with the stairs or like a table that's already set up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's already there. If he happens
there. Yeah.
If he happens to get thrown into it at a high speed and stopped suddenly by the steel, oopsie whoopsie, you know, I didn't break no rules, sir. It was there.
And then all of a sudden I hear, the code red, not the code. I'm like, dear fucking God, you gotta be kidding me. Because again, you want to talk about being a theater kid. I did A Few Good Men.
Yep, so you caught that shit.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, who's it? What now?
Excuse I didn't realize me? That no. until someone pointed it no. out to me doing this podcast.
They did not just call a move from. A code red. Shut your mouth.
That's straight up where it came from. Now, this oh, makes absolutely. Sense, though. Well, this makes sense, though, because, like, anyone who knows Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, love him, Dusty. He, I think, was involved again at this point. And everybody knows that he has a tendency to just watch movies and then be like, I want to do that. Like, that's why we have War Games is from Mad Max Thunderdome.
Oh, my God.
That's where War Games, he's like, I want, like, a big cage with 2 rings. And everyone's like, we'll call it Thunderdome. They literally made a Thunderdome match.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, we're just going to look the other way, right? Yeah, that makes sense that that's where that came from. But I was just like, God, really? Because it's just an arm bar, and I don't like this guy.
Fuck I know. Guy. Same. Same. Also same. Yes. And then, yeah, we got I was just like, we got to the end of it. And after the whole thing, I'm just like, that was the exact same finisher as the first match. What the fuck?
Pretty much. Like, pretty much. It's just real quick. Yeah, you pretty much did the quick pinup, which I don't hate. I feel like you don't get enough of those anymore. But yeah, this week's wrestling really had a theme. I feel like
it did. It did. Yeah. It very much did.
And then we get fucking Taskmaster with his fucking face.
When he came out with the whole, his intro with the red and the shit, and he takes the thing out, I'm just, he looks so overhyped.
Yeah. But, you know, but I will say though, first though, before he just showed up in the one thing, first I forgot we actually get Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman.
God, yeah. These guys. Okay. This is where I was like, everybody sounds like they've smoked 5 packs a day.
Well, some of them probably. I'm sure Pillman. Pillman was definitely. I'm sure he was pulling some up.
But some the hair on the. Oh my God. Curly blonde. I was just like, can we get who'd that remind me of? Fucking Kurt Russell.
He does kind of have that going.
He was giving Kurt Russell an overboard. Like big time.
Like, but big then there's. Time. Arn Anderson rocking his hottest night out at the teachers' conference in Robbinsdale.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm like, why do you look like my fourth grade teacher right now? Like,
because
what
he's
the fuck?
Arn Anderson, the resident bear leather daddy,
double A,
shop
whatever.
Teacher. He's the enforcer. Come on. And then you got, I love at the end of it, the old white lady.
He's the
throwing
enforcer.
Of the four horsemen. But in, I don't know if you caught in the background a cry laugh because there's like this old white lady throwing up the four horsemen hands like a praise Jesus.
I did not see that. Oh my God.
And I'm just like, okay, this lady's down to clown. Like, this lady loves Ric Flair. All right.
I don't remember which. I think it, I don't remember which, if it was Nitro or Raw, but in the background, I just remember it panning over these two again. 1995, these yes. two girls, besties, had to be besties, but like the hair was just like this big and they had the shirts and it like the bangs, but one was blonde and one was brunette and they were just like, no, hi mom, no. I was like, oh my God.
Dude, these motherfuckers get bloodthirsty. Dude, like, it's so fun. There's a
legit
thanks to the timey-wiminess of recording out of order. Preview for next week. There's an episode. The episode of Raw next week involves just a bloodthirsty crowd of people who look like they were in a mall food court in the 90s for like a Hanson video.
God.
But they just want, they're like, we want a dead body. Let's go. I was like, all right, y'all guys are freaking me out. Jesus. So that's next week. Speaking of freaked out, though, more Kevin Sullivan. We get a second bite at the Beach Baby Bostonians on Baywatch to explain why we're having to watch Kevin Sullivan wrestle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the answer is he's technically the guy writing this shit. He has the book at this point, so like he's the booker. So that might explain a lot.
I was like, why are we? That seems dangerous for one. I'm sure it didn't have like row weights on it or anything, but I was like, that's rude. And dangerous.
I think that actually probably had real weights out.
Okay, so that's rude and dangerous.
So that is rude and dangerous.
And literally throwing sand, like as soon as he started throwing sand, I wanted to crawl out of my skin and die because I fucking hate sand.
Oh yeah, I forgot to give you a trigger warning.
And no, it was fine. But I was just like, no. No, thank you. I felt bad for Randy Savage and just in that moment though.
Just in that moment.
Just for the sand. Just for the sand.
And then you remember that how he treated him as Elizabeth.
I was just like, wow, you're really loud and obnoxious. And
he's so loud, but he does have a looks though. I love his looks. He's the biggest boy.
Whoever did his costuming. Just the fringe. Yeah. The tassels and shit and the cowboy hats. Everything said macho, the hat or the glasses or the, and something said macho somewhere.
And you can understand how like dude became so iconic even just for the look, that the point where he's in Spider-Man and it's like he just has to show up and be himself, even not being his character. And it's just like, yeah, but you're Macho Man, you know? Bonesaw is ready, sure. Yeah. You're the Macho Man. All right. But yeah, that happened. Bobby stepped in Pepe's poop, which made me sad.
Yeah. Which made me sad.
It made me sad because I love Bobby and I love Pepe and I want them to be happy together. not creating. I want the weasel and the rat to get together and dump McNugget is what I want. This is my egg cannon. Yes, I want Bobby and Pepe to fall deeply in love.
Oh my God.
And for McMichael to get a different job.
I muted so you didn't hear this. But
oh,
then you hear my laugh subsequently after that. So
you hear that, people listening? They think I'm funny.
That's right.
Put that on the record. You know who I don't think is funny? Kevin Sullivan. God damn it, we're still talking about him.
It's almost over.
Right? His career is going to last, like, I think at least another year in this shit. But he's got the Zodiac doing his bidding.
The Zodiac.
And
what I yeah. I looked up. Well, I'm just like, what? Who is this? How can we just call in other people? What is happening? What's going on? Is this legal? I asked, is this legal, probably like 4 times.
Probably not, no.
Probably
but
not.
Again, he's the booker. He gets to do what he wants.
Okay.
But it's the Zodiac.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy? The Zodiac.
He's part of Kevin Sullivan's Dungeon of Doom, which is totally not silly at all. And I got to say, Ted Cruz looking swole. Like, I wasn't really expecting it, but apparently he had a good 95. Folks, I think I killed Blue. I'm so sorry. This is the first time I've done a murder on the cast.
No.
Oh, no. I did a murder on the cast. Oh, thanks. Well, you know, it led to some shit. And
I mean, now that you mention it, though.
Yeah, he got big. In reality, it's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. That's one of Hulk Hogan's best friends who will have a job anywhere he goes. And Leslie, yeah. but they gave him the Zodiac, and it's like, all right, sure, whatever. I'm on TV, right? Cool. You're still going to pay for the drugs? All right.
Anytime they have to paint their face, I'm just like, man, you're really in it, aren't you?
You're going for it.
You're really in there, aren't you?
You're really
just
up
the
in
whole,
there.
Just the whole thing.
The whole right? thing. It only works for like 4 or 5 of them ever, but
right?
they kept trying. You know, it's Sting. If you're Sting, you can be Sting. You can be Sting up until like 2 weeks ago when he retired.
Like in real life, really?
Yeah, no, his last match was like 2.5 weeks ago. Sting, who was, you know, around for this and before this. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
he was mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, like he's very much in this. Like he kept going for like the entire time. He just retired. He's the last one of like all these guys to like still have been going.
That's insane. Basically.
Yeah, no, all the rest of them are either dead or have a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
that's the life of a wrestler
so
now.
So funny.
But yeah, Macho snaps, pushes the ref, stacks him up. And drops a beautiful elbow on the senator from Texas's chest. And then they send out some guys to get a quick TV payday and look make the giant look amazing.
Savage said, fuck that bell. And then they just like inundated the ring with everyone else. I was like, what is happening? This is not Royal Rumble. Like,
you
what
just
is-
see guys with no just, names and mustaches.
No, I know. Yeah. They're just calling people out and they're just like, they're literally diving under the bottom rope, and I'm just like, where are you coming from? They're like bugs. Like, what the fuck?
People who are on the roster who literally need a payday, and they're just like, get Jim, go.
Literally, they're just like, you, go. You, get in there. Like, you're in costume, go.
Well, in reality, the idea being that, like, they're really trying to push the giant as this, like, absolute beast, so they just literally fed him. And they're going to be doing this for weeks, basically, to work up until the monster truck times.
Yeah.
Which they talk about again. Card
they
subject
talk
to change.
About
yeah.
So, that was in my monster trucks? Monster trucks. Like, that's just. And then the number of times that they said people were getting manhandled. Everyone got manhandled tonight. Like, well,
there was a lot of men handling things.
Yeah. I feel like, is that not every night?
Yeah, no. Well, a bunch of men handling other men. If it's ECW, they get away with handling women. Like in the 90s, at least, it was not great. I mean, some of it was really great. Some of it was not great. But yeah, this was pretty great. This match was great. Luger and Meng, I actually really like this. The thing is like Lex Luger is not bad wrestler for the era of wrestling that he's from, if that makes sense. And Meng is just awesome. Meng is
he was fun to watch.
Yeah, he's
he
so
was
good.
Really fun to watch. Very entertaining.
I'm really happy that Meng sticks around for a while. He used to be in WWF before and after this as a Haku. So, like, he's been around a while. Like, these are all guys who have had careers for a while at this point.
My only problem with this match is that because I like both of them and it was great and it was fun to watch. My only problem with this match is that Lex started down and Meng still used a fucking spike at the end.
Yeah, well, you got, he's the heel finish. They got to make you know he's the real bad guy.
What the
he's
fuck?
All, yeah, right? He's also in the dungeon like, to do. So like they...
Like, why?
Because it's lazy and it's... They really like it because Kevin Sullivan. In the meantime, it was a decent match. Meng had an awesome pile driver. I took note of the fact that there was a trapezius hold for like a long ass time that he had, did the power out of, like the dropping the arm, and he powered out. Because we're going to talk about Raw, and Yokozuna and Billy Gunn do the same spot, which I thought was pretty entertaining. But yeah. Then we have Bobby cleaning his shoes because he's a storyteller and I love him. he knows how to wrap it up. Right? Like Bobby is like,
there was okay.
Bischoff's whatever, Mongo sucks, but Bobby, this is a Bobby the Brain Heenan love podcast.
Who was the guy with the dog?
That's Steve Mongo McMichael. He was a former football player who got a job because Ric Flair likes football.
Listen. There were moments where I thought that was Terry Bradshaw. I can't even lie to you. There were moments I was like, who is this man? Is this Terry Bradshaw? Why does this sound, why does he sound so familiar? What's going on?
Blew that fucking rules. I mean, he might as well be Terry
call
Bradshaw.
Me crazy. Like, call me crazy. Go I back and listen that. To some of the shit that man said, some of the intonation, and I'm just like, who? There's no way that's Terry Bradshaw. He's holding a 4-pound chihuahua. I mean, but also, it might be Terry Bradshaw. I don't know. So,
practically, I mean, might as well be. It's same difference. Terry Bradshaw might be more entertaining, in my opinion, but.
Well, and I considered it even more so because didn't he do commentary for like football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's better at it than Steve Mongo.
I would completely believe that he would do commentary for wrestling. Like, why the fuck not? Especially if he was already a fan and he was just into it. Like, why would they not have him? But also 95, I don't know what he was doing in 95. So
for cultural context, this is like the worst year for wrestling. Before
really
Raw like and WWE are having like the worst time. WCW is trying to compete with WWE, but like they're starting from a back foot basically. But like it was the kind of thing where like WWE was in a big downswing after the big boom in the 80s when you had like Cyndi Lauper and the first emergence of Hogan and all that. So they were on the downturn, and that's why I'm doing this rewatch, because this whole podcast is about the period where that turned around. Okay. Because the fact that they're both on Monday night made competition and they both start bringing their fucking A games, and it took off. And next thing you know, by like 97, when I was getting really, really into it, I was still the weird kid, but the cool kids would ask me about wrestling still because it was popular enough that it was a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
So like I wasn't at the, you know, me liking wrestling was the least weird thing about me. And us wrestling fans got that for about 2 years before it was like, all right, get back in the fucking closet, you fucking freak. And I was like, all right. And we all picked up our collective Jack-specific free figures in the rings and just got back in the troll caves. And, it's one of those things where we joke about, like, all wrestling fans joke about the shame of being a wrestling fan because, like, people give you shit for it, you know? Well, don't you know it was fake? And, like, well, yeah, but so Star Wars, you know? But, like, But isn't the lightsaber fight really fucking cool? Right? Now, imagine if Darth Vader put Luke Skywalker's head between his fucking legs, lifted him up, and then put him through a burning table in the middle of the lightsaber fight. This is what I'm talking about. And all of it's kind of gay. This is why I'm here for it. just a little sheen, you know? Just
a little bit.
Oh, our kitty has returned.
Yes. Yay. Yes.
You have podcasting cat. I have a podcasting dog who is just like out.
Is he zonked out again?
He is zonked out again. He got walkies and he's like, I'm done. You've been doing this all week in my house.
Aww.
He's very good. He's so cool. He's the best podcast. But that brings us to Raw. Do you have any other questions, concern, or notes about Nitro?
I don't. I think, no. We went over everything that I had for Nitro.
Hot diggity shit.
I know. Well, I'm proud of there me. You
go. It only took us 43 minutes to talk about it. There you go.
Sick.
That brings us to Cornette spoke to the manager and got the decision from the night before reversed.
Listen, as soon as I saw, the first words out of my mouth for Raw, I was just sitting there watching, just like taking it in, seeing what was happening, looking at everything, yada, yada, yada. We're going through contract shit. And then all of a sudden, oh God, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, there he is.
I was like,
oh. You remember. Yeah,
it's like, first of all, wow, look how young. Second of all, that just happened.
It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, and we're just going at it head on. We're going to get to that because, you know, we got to talk about the fact that Yoko and Owen are tag team champs again. And they basically undid everything at the pay-per-view the night before that's on the Patreon that you could check out. Right. And our beloved strapped up chaps have lost their straps and dolls everywhere weep. They kept referring to themselves as the chaps with the straps. And I was just like, all right. Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Let's go, girl.
You said like, it, not me.
You mentioned Vince and Thanks. I mentioned. So we're going to have, I talked to some friends about, I think it's going to have to be a reoccurring segment. Eventually I'm going to become a professional and I can maybe have like a soundboard with a noise.
Yes.
But in the meantime, the segment is going to be called There Were Signs. And this one hit like right away. You okay? Did I break blue again?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Drawler just drops the piss kink comment. And like out of nowhere in the Blue Sky contingent applauds. But like seriously, just
unnecessary.
Out of nowhere. And Vince makes the fake like, what? Oh my. And it's just like, okay, this is just who you people are. And like there were signs.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, damn. That's the only one though. Actually, yeah. This week it's going to get worse, but before it gets better, if it ever gets better, it might be getting better now. We don't know. I don't watch his every week anymore because it got so bad. This is the debut for our watch through, at least, of Sonny and Chris Candido, and they're hugging it out. And I like me a sensitive boy. Yeah, and Sonny's makeup was perfect, so I really loved everything about this match.
Well, and that's what we started. and I'm just like, okay, first of all, that's a nice mullet.
Oh, for Marty? Marty,
I'm not Gennetti. Even going to lie. That's a nice mullet.
It's classic.
Your hair's beautiful, sir. You got beautiful hair. we started, and I'm like, and we're dancing. We're dancing. We're circling. We're dancing. Nothing's happening. We're hyping up the crowd. We're dancing. They've walked around each other like 7 times, I swear to God. And then why does he get his girlfriend outside the ring? Why does he get a cheerleader? Where's everybody else's?
Well, you got Sonny has a manager's license.
Oh,
let okay. you know. Okay. That is a thing okay. that they used to pretend was real for a long time.
That's funny. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was one of my favorite things they pretended was real. Basically, so they could have the awesome interaction of him having to roll out and hug his girlfriend
and hug
to
feel her. Better. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Why does he get a cheerleader? What is this?
Cinema.
Emotional support.
Cinema is what makes it entertainment and not just sport. Sport and or entertainment.
Erica.
Yeah, and then we have Dean Douglas continuing his gimmick of liking to watch and take notes.
Yeah.
That's so
funny. This match really just made me just want to like get in a ring and it's back and forth. Because that's all that we're doing.
They and did I was a whole just like,
that
it.
Looks so much fun.
You'd be surprised to know it hurts like a motherfucker.
Really?
In reality, that's one of the first things you find out when you run the ropes. You can find out, like, you have to callus your body. So the first couple times, you know, the first, like, thousands of times you do it, you get bruises from hitting. Because those are just, it's just wrapped steel. Those are, like, literally, like, steel cables wrapped in, you know, a thing, like, tape almost to cover it. You hit them and, like, they hurts after a while. Like, everything they do hurts, basically.
Oh, my God.
That's why a lot of them died of a drug overdose. Oh yeah, did the cat know that? Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so you know, it looks fun. I'm sure it is fun. They wouldn't keep doing it, but it hurts.
That's crazy.
Eventually it doesn't hurt.
Sure,
but yeah, they did it a lot. I gotta say, one thing I took notice of too is Candido does a good example of one of my favorite things in wrestling, where he takes like this huge bump flying out of the ring, and he just instinctually fixes his clothes before he pretends that he's in pain.
No, I saw the same thing.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the cat has unplugged
headphones out of. I can't hear you. Wait, there we go. Okay, I can hear you again.
Yeah, I was just explaining to the people that the cat did chaos.
The cat did chaos. No, I saw the same thing though. Like as he landed, and right before that camera moved, he went.
I gotta fix my
saw
shit.
That.
Oh, it hurts now.
Well, it did not take long for that first strap to fall down. And as soon as that did, I was like, this ain't gonna last.
Speaking of, there's the Raw Outlast Nitro sign, and this is like the first time in Raw I've seen signs blatantly calling out Nitro. So it's like it's on. It's officially on in this little adventure of ours.
Something that was really funny that happened that I really liked. Sunny was just like screaming at the camera, as she seems to do a lot, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But she was screaming at the camera, and the other guy taps her on the shoulder, and she turns around for a hug, but it's, what's his name?
Marty Jannetty.
It was Marty. Yeah. And she got so mad at a hug. She got so upset at just a hug that all he did was hug her. And she was like, oh my God, what? Like,
drama. Well, she's selling it for the guys in the nosebleeds.
I know, but I did. He didn't beat your ass, honey. All he did was hug you. Like,
if this was ECW, he would have beat your ass while the crowd yelled slurs at you. Yeah.
So, I love his baby blue boots. I'm not even going to lie. The boots are great. The boots are great. His hair is very Slim Shady. Did Eminem maybe grab some inspo from...
From the Body Donnas, maybe,
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, Chip and Skip. Maybe, who knows? But this is early on. Chris Candido, I gotta say, the match itself, I like, though, as far as the wrestling goes, because Chris Candido is really good.
Yeah.
And what's his nuts? Marty Jannetty. If you can say anything to him, he's a good wrestler.
I enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, just don't ever look up his Facebook page. Okay. Yeah, and you can continue to feel good things about Marty Jannetty and his hair.
Listen, the man's hair is beautiful. Okay. It really is. And when the match was over and he went over, or I don't remember if it was when the match was over or when he goes over to the ropes and he does this like really excited, like, jumpy thing, like with the I'm like, that's me. Oh dear God, that's me. Oh my God, that's so me coded. You don't even understand. I love
he's
that.
He's doing
so
like
much.
The rockers, like shake, like the Ultimate Warriors can do that. Hard, yeah.
So funny.
Fuck yeah, that's blue coded. Good to know. Takes it down. Blue is Marty Jannetty is blue coded. Okay. Blue's a rocker. All right, then we get Clarence Mason, an actual attorney.
Really?
That's awesome. We got into this. My brain sings because he's from the Nation of Domination. That's going to probably be a thing that comes up soon here.
Interesting.
But he was like the lawyer for the nation, and it's like he was an actual lawyer. So we get a championship match on TV, which happened on Nitro, but like that was not like a thing that really happened very, very often back then. That was kind of a big dealish to have it happen. And like this is the era where that starts to ramp up because they're trying to outdo each other.
Okay.
So they're like, we're gonna give you something that normally you would have to pay for, you know, on TV.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay, you know, and it's cool at first, but then by like 2001, it's like, okay, there's been like four this week.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. What the fuck's going on? You know, so we have that downward slide to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get Raw QVC back hard at work pushing inventory from last night's show. That was so fun to see it in real time and be like, oh, I see what's going on. The show's over. Y'all are clearing out the racks. Yeah, to make sure they get out the door. And then that brings us to the tag team match. We get the Smoking Guns.
Listen,
you have thoughts about the Smoking Guns?
I love these guys. The stash, the jeans, the
everything.
The jeans, blue jeans. Fucking blue jeans. The mullets. Oh my god. And cowboy boots. Blue jeans and cowboy boots. And belts and nothing else. That's it.
And that's mullet. Badass Billy Gunn. That is cowboy daddy ass. He's still on TV.
God. Oh my god.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite wrestlers still, which is
so
fantastic.
Crazy.
And now he's if you've ever seen anyone on the internet talk about Scissor Me Daddy Ass, that's the daddy ass they're talking about, is Billy Gunn, the blonde mullet.
The blonde one? Okay.
Yes. The other one fell into obscurity after he got screwed real hard. We'll get there, fans.
Okay.
Fans, that's gonna a couple years from now, we're gonna cover something called the Brawl for All, and that didn't go well for him. But yeah, great match. Owen crying wolf on the hair pull because Owen Hart saying the guy's pulling his hair.
Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a second because I was like, Owen Hart, isn't there a Bret Hart? Are they related? So I had to look it up. Turns out they're brothers.
Oh, very much
so. But yeah. And then I just like, I was just like, this feels wildly unfair. That is a sumo wrestler.
It's really not, though.
Like, what the
really,
hell?
Really not.
What the hell? That man's
name was Rodney. He was not even Japanese. He is Samoan.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes more sense, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, you said you saw Roman Reigns, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his uncle. Yeah, that's Uncle Rodney.
There we go.
So, yep. So he's the bloodline.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that's why I said that makes more sense than, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of awesome, though, because then you got that bloodline, then you got Owen Hart, and like they were the brood. They were like the old dynasty family.
Gotcha.
RIP to both of them.
That's what I know. That was my note. That was really my note for Owen Hart. It was like, aw, RIP Owen Hart.
Yeah, I'm excited and scared to get to that episode of Raw.
Because that wasn't too many years after this that he died. 99. He died in 99.
Yeah, I was going to say, so pretty close. I watched it happen live as a kid. I had that pay-per-view, and that was a... it's funny because it's two times there where it's the perfect example of my dad trying to say, no, it's fake. They're fucking with you. And the other time was when his brother Brett got screwed legitimately. And I was like, both times involved a heart. And both times I'm like, no, Dad, this is really fucking happening. Like, Brett really did get screwed and Owen's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah, no, like, that's, whew. those lines blur and it gets scary. But,
because I looked it up, because obviously I found it when I Googled, because I was like, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, are they related? Found that they were related, saw his date of death, and I was like,
wow, he was kind of young. And then I looked, I just went ahead and just, it was like, why did he die so young? Yeah, I was like, okay, damn.
Because Vince McMahon's a monster. Basically, a lot of, why did a lot of these guys die so young? Because Vince McMahon's a fucking monster. La, la, la.
That's, and that, like, that, going back to my very first note, oh God, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it's going to be like the thing that, the cloud over all of this, basically.
You're going to have a t-shirt. I think you're going to have a t-shirt that just says, oh God, Vince McMahon.
There you go. That or there were signs.
There were signs. Yeah. dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, we should have been paying attention. Well, speaking of signs, another one, Nitro out of gas, Raw runs on diesel power. All right. The fans are already picking sides and talking shit. Old school. This is shit posting before we had wider forums. You had to
do it with
Sharpies on TV.
Right?
Yeah.
Like multiple Sharpies for one letter.
Yeah, just really, really good in there. I need them to see my opinions. You will see my opinions.
You will see them in neon green.
Yes, we don't have high def yet, so I have to really go. It's going to be like 12 more years.
I said my last note for that match right there. I was like, I have nothing to say other than I want this brunette hunk to take this whole thing home. And literally, as I was typing that, they won, and I was like, "You go, country boys!
You go, country boys! You bring it home with that sidewinder! Hell yeah!
It was great."
You got they worry as you should be.
I was proud.
We got Doc Hendricks and Gorilla Monsoon drop a promo for our Patreon. We're going to Canada. In your house 4, we will be doing a watch along. And then this was cool too. This is the first time in this rewatch that we've seen The Undertaker come out. Like, I love The Undertaker as a kid, but I didn't get to watch Raw this early.
Okay.
And to see this in like what looked like a gymnasium in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the fucking pop from the crowd.
I've never even seen, first of all, I know the name, The Undertaker. I know who The Undertaker is. Like, I know.
Everyone knows.
Like, just, I can't, right. I've never seen, I didn't watch wrestling. I've never seen this man wrestle. I knew his intro from the first note. That's how iconic he is. I knew it. I knew it was him. I knew who it was. I knew it was about to happen. I knew it was the Undertaker. And like, but that's how iconic he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, though, I would like to bring attention to, we are responsible for someone's first Undertaker match.
Oh yeah, no, I've never.
Holy
yeah.
Crap.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
That's awesome. Holy crap.
Yeah, I've never.
So yes, you know that. So now you see why they call him the Phenom, because like those lights went out, that dong hit, and everyone like boom. Like everyone went off. And I did kind of laugh at the guy who had to bring back the Ultimate Warrior sign, though. As he was coming out, I was like, it's not yet. Maybe later.
Probably not yet.
Ain't nobody like the Ultimate Warrior.
Too soon.
Very too soon. I think he shows up at WCW before he shows up there.
Too soon.
But yeah, so how did you like Undertaker? He does like the Mike Myers sit up and right into the camera.
Here's... To be honest with you.
Yeah.
How did I like the internet? Okay. Like, this man is large. Okay?
He is large. He's a big old dude.
He's very tall. He's very large. And the hair and just the dark and just he moves so slow. And I'm just like.
Well, he's undead. The idea is that he's like a zombie.
I didn't know that.
That's why they call him the Dead Man early on. The early iteration of Undertaker is we're supposed to think that he's got like supernatural powers at this point.
I did not know that. I had no idea. Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I wasn't sure. Waylon Mercy is staring from out in the crowd, and it's scarier than the Undertaker.
Also, first of all, a cape. a cape. Yeah. He's got a fucking cape, a tassel-y, fringy ass, sparkly cape. Are you kidding me?
You'll have that. It is what it is. But I had fun with the match in general. He did
me too.
He did the walk with the they call it old school later on because this is and they call it old school because of this time period when it was new school.
Yeah.
And that was great. But yeah, you're talking about the cape of the bulldog. Put that together.
Yes. I just British bulldog. Oh my god.
You can't. Yeah. He's the British Bulldog. I love him dearly, but it's Davey Boy Smith.
Woo! The purple's fantastic. I love the purple and the black.
So yes, we were continuing to talk about that.
No, the gloves kill me.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea was that he was an Old West mortician outfit is where it started from. So like he's literally an undertaker. So like he's got like the gloves and shit.
Yep.
But yeah, no, originally he's supposed to be like undead and have powers and shit. And when I was a kid, I was like, at the very least, he's got like a high pain tolerance or shit like that, you know, like, but he does them literally comes from Michael Myers, the sit up where like he knows self and just sits up.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Really, really cool seeing an Undertaker match 5 years into his existence in like a gymnasium.
Oh, so that was early.
Yeah, he debuted in 1990, Survivor Series 1990, so like almost exactly 5 years before that. And then like he kept going. He was in that company for 30 plus years before he finally retired. Yeah.
Crazy.
I love all the hand-drawn tombstone signs, like the hand-drawn rest in peace. That shit pleases me.
That's cool.
But then we get Vince dancing along to Sean's music, and that makes me sad inside. And we got like 7 minutes of Sean and Diesel like coming out and working the crowd, and like it was another like bullshit ending. And but they all come out and shake the dead man's hand and say we're cool.
Well, and then it was like it's so funny the ending of both of these episodes. I was like, man, I just get all the brawls, don't I?
You really like, they got
just,
a lot
again. Of them. Just kept adding more people and adding more people, and then all of a sudden, the fucking country boys come out. I was like, soap from the shot. Soap? No, that's cum. Sorry.
Yeah. That's no. Not soap. Thank you. No, that I caught that too. I was like,
that's not soap.
Okay. That ain't soap. This is a grown up podcast. You can tell from the swears.
No.
They came out, and I was like, what were y'all doing? And then they said soap, and I was like, okay, that's not what my eyes not what my eyes saw. That's And I was like, okay, y'all were shooting a promo.
I'm doing the Bugs Bunny. I'm doing the Bugs Bunny no meme right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like no. You cannot convince me.
They really are. I can confirm for y'all. I've seen it and it's happening, and it's as funny as you can imagine. But yeah, and then they just go out on that, and that was Raw. And I gotta tell you,
he was just like limping, and he's just like
shaking the hand. I am dead.
I'm like, what is happening? We're all cool right now. And then, with the hair and the earrings and
Sean gave me joy and hope as a kid, though. He was a badass boy who was still pretty. And I was like, you mean I can still be pretty? There's chances?
Yeah.
Turns out, no, there's really no, you're a lady. And I was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine, too. But you know, when I was younger, you know,
that was the
weird experience, that and Goldust. I was like, you're telling me that I can be like super gay and still respected if I can be a badass? All right, so I'm just gonna be a really gay, pretty badass. Yeah. And it's like, well, now, no, you're still a lady, but you're like that lady on the YouTube short where it's like,
still badass.
That YouTube short, that lady was like, I don't want to be strong like man who is pretty. I want to be strong like bitch who fight bear in forest.
And I was like, yes.
And I'm like, yes, that's my gender. That's my gender. Mm-hmm. That gender.
I picked that one.
I picked that one. That if I could pick my gender, that's that, in which I can. It's that one. That's that one. Bring me a bear. Arn Anderson. Bring me Arn Anderson. So what was your match of the week then, Blue?
Oh, man. Okay. I probably on Nitro, it was Kurosawa.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who he fought, because he was awesome. What did he fight?
Oh,
my God.
I don't remember who he fought either. Oh, God. Look, this was the week we've had on Monday Night Fake Fights. These fights were like, whatever. I know he won with the bridge. He won with the amazing... Oh, Pittman. He fought Pittman with the headbutts. All right, no. I agree with you, though. This has now happened again, though, because like this was like the closest thing to a good match I felt like we had. And that's saying something, because there were some really good wrestlers on this week, all in all.
And even that
Taker match was great until the end. It was great. And it ruined it.
It was great. No, I agree. It got overdone, I feel. They pushed it too hard. Yes. I enjoyed the Smoking Guns.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him fight somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
personally, I would like to see them in another fight.
We'll come back. They last for a little bit, but they get broken up. And if you debut as a tag team, like the clock starts ticking, you're eventually getting broken up. It's like Marty Jannetty that we saw. Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels were the Rockers, and they got broken up, and that was like a huge story.
Yeah.
So like once that went over so hard, that went over so well, it's like, well, guess what? You're getting broken up eventually, because Sean and Marty did it. It was great. Yep. But I agree. Kurosawa wins simply because of the German suplex with the full bridge. And that's, if you do a German suplex with a full bridge, I am a simple woman, and that's going to win it for me.
And then me over here, just like, I knew he was going to win when he walked out. So
there you go. So you win. All right. What about sign of the week? Did you see anything that popped your jollies?
That was the thing that I forgot. I knew there was going to be something that I forgot about. And I totally forgot to look at signs in the audience. I completely forgot. I watched the first one at the gym this morning, and I watched the second one literally moments before we started recording. Yes. And I ended up listening to Nitro again a second time at work. Oh. I listened to it so that I could take notes, because when I watched it at the gym, I watched it on my phone and I couldn't take notes, but I had so many notes and I didn't want to forget anything. So I went back and I listened to it at work, because I had an easy cart.
Yeah.
No shit. And I took notes, and I have a desk job. It's fine. Yeah. And so I did that, and then I watched Raw and took notes. And Nitro, mwah, love it. Fucking love it.
So
Nitro
was
great.
You're calling that your win of the week over
Nitro
Raw?
Was great. Are we picking? Do we pick one?
That's the next one. Who won this week?
Nitro, hands down. Are you kidding? Fuck.
Yes, if only because Bobby the Brain Heenan was on fire for a good portion of the evening, and that's going to give me a lot of points overall. And Alex Wright did his Wunderkid thing, and even I can't believe I'm going to give it to Nitro on the night that Disco Inferno debuted. That's fucking wild. But
was that his debut?
That was his debut. You witnessed history. No, he didn't. He lost to the backslider.
Oh no, that's
remember?
Right. No, he didn't.
He will very rarely win. It's not his job to win. It's his job to go out there and be annoying and make everyone hate him for being annoying and to get beat.
Well, he definitely. No wonder he was getting booed. I was like, why is he getting booed? First of all,
because it's his job to get. Because it's his job to get booed. Blue, you just.
Damn.
Blue,
sucks to suck.
That's so funny that you're like, no, Disco Guy is good. Disco Guy's the baby face. Why do you hate
Disco
Guy?
I'm just like, why are we hating on him right now? Why are we booing I mean, the name is awful and his dancing is terrible, but like, do we have to boo him? Like, shit.
Well, you know what, Blue, if you want to make sense, go to his Twitter page and just scroll a little bit and you'll find reasons.
I don't do social media.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, one of my favorite current wrestlers, Jon Moxley, is who my cat is named after, because she's also a ginger fighting street cat, street fighting brawler, who is feral. She is the Lunatic Fringe. And so she is Jon Moxley, and I love him. I love him dearly, and he does not use social media, and I thank him for that every day, because I'm sure he's got some takes and I don't want to know him because I love him and I just want to love him forever.
Right?
That's fine. You can just go ahead and not say shit. That's fine.
There are certain people where it's like, I don't need to know anything about you, because if I did, I'd probably fucking hate you.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and just love your work and then honestly, not think about it.
That's literally how I've had like very personable jobs in my life, and that's how I am at work. I'm like, you don't want to know me, because if you know me, you would not like me. So just know this iteration of me that you know at work and live with it. Because I promise you, you'll be a lot happier.
Well, all right. You hear that, folks? There's your life advice from Blue.
You don't need to know everybody personally, shit.
Well, on that note, do you have any other things you want to tell the people besides that?
No, you don't need to know me. I'm just
places you want to be found or not found, or
that's the thing. I'm not found. I don't have. I have a Tumblr and I have other adult sites. I'll give you a link. I'll give you a link tree. How about that?
Would you like me to put the link tree in bio of episode?
I'll give you a link tree, and you can.
So, folks of the correct click age, on that.
Oh, there's like a block on it and everything. Like, good. You can.
There you go.
If you can't get in, sorry, not sorry. But
so, folks of the correct age can check out Blue's work.
Correct.
Indubitably. Well, that will be in the info. And don't go on socials. No, nope. Says no socials. Maybe Tumblr. I mean, that's
not
for normal.
Me. I'm not sure. I'm not your mom. I can't tell you what to do, and I'm not fair. Going to. So
I'm happy you're not my mom, because I want to talk to you.
So am I.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to my mom. So there you go. So thank you, everyone else, for hanging out and listening to me.
So good.
Me shoot the bullshit with my friends, which is what this podcast is, and I don't care. I have the microphone, and you're choosing to listen.
That's right.
You can find us the podcast on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. Begrudgingly, I have an Instagram at mnffpod, and if you want to join us on Patreon for those watch alongs with Nova the Noob and to watch the pay-per-views that show up in chronological order.
Do it.
Listen to the voice. The voice says do it. Oh my God. I'm terrified. Okay.
Sorry, I have a good mic.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Otherwise, we will see you folks next week. Oh, the Patreon. Patreon.com/MNFFpod.
I distracted her.
Well, I got it just scared me. Otherwise, we'll see you folks next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Toodles!
Woo, go Nitro!
We have clear biases.